Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I'm Matt.
And today we're discussing getting great customer service.
That's right, Joel. We're talking about customer service today. And oftentimes, folks think about customer service when it comes to getting something fixed, like when something has gone wrong. But yeah, we're going to touch a little bit on what it means to get customer service even before things have gone wrong, even before something's broken or you've been offended.
Yeah, but then what if you enter a worst case scenario customer service wise? We're going to kind of go into how you handle that as well. And customer service, Matt, just kind of fascinates me.
Yeah, you're a total nerd.
I am. Like, I could geek out on customer service stories or just how companies that handle customer service particularly well, like a company like Zappos, just known for customer service. I think that's so cool. So I'm really interested to dive into this today.
And Joel, on a recent episode that we did on Before You Buy a House, we had talked about doing the wave test when you drive around looking at properties to...
It was something that you came up with, right? I'd never heard of it before, and this was a Matt original.
Well, yeah, Kate and I have always done that. We always just wave at people and kind of gauge how friendly folks are. But some folks wrote in from the Pacific Northwest, our friend Katie up there in Portland, and then a couple other folks as well up in the Northeast, like I think it was in New York and in Jersey, were saying, man, if you were to wave at somebody that you didn't know, you would just get stares at best. You know?
So maybe that's our Southern bias shining through.
Well, I don't know. But even still, I think that folks should try to be a little more friendly. And if that's not something that you're used to seeing, give it a shot, because you might be in a neighborhood that is extra friendly. And who doesn't want to live in a friendly neighborhood where everyone's happy to see you? I know I do.
Totally, Matt. I mean, I want to live in a friendly neighborhood. I feel like we live in a friendly neighborhood. Some of our neighbors have referenced where we live as kind of like Mayberry-like. That's kind of true. And that's what I love about living here. There are always neighbors walking down the sidewalks, interacting with one another. People just kind of know each other and look out for each other.
Hanging out in the front yards now that it's getting warmer. But what it takes is being intentional. You have to foster that as an individual. And even though it might go against the grain a little bit, maybe with where you live, you can be that weirdo. Like, you can be that friendly person.
You have to be the wave in this world if you want the wave to wave back, right? But I think there is a good point that maybe that is also kind of a distinctly Southern thing. We're a little overtly friendly down here. And actually, we had a listener, Darren, who wrote in and he said, maybe instead of the wave test, consider asking a mail carrier. And I thought that was just the perfect suggestion.
Oh, I didn't see that. What did he say? Asking a mail carrier what they think of the area?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Like, so asking about, hey, what happens on this street? They're like literally boots on the ground, right? Eyes on the street. And so they're a perfect person to ask suggestions about what the neighborhood actually looks like day to day. And that specific street, that specific house, what sort of activity are you seeing? And so I think, Darren's point is well taken. If you are looking to buy a home, hanging out and waiting for the mail to come by is not a terrible idea. You might get some great suggestions and some really great thoughts from a mail carrier before you go all in and buy a home.
Yeah, I like it. And Joel, I'm going to go ahead and introduce this beer. I just sniffed the bottle yet again because this is one of the most delicious fruity smelling beers I have ever sniffed in my entire life. We have a beer, our second beer now, from our listener Jared out in Texas. And this is an Atrial Rubicite from Jester King, which they make some amazing beers out in Texas. I've never had any Jester King, so I am very excited about this one.
Yeah, I think I've only had one beer from Jester King before in my life, and their reputation totally precedes them. They've got this amazing kind of farmhouse style brewery down there in Austin, and it's definitely one of those that I want to visit for sure in my life. And Atrial Rubicite in particular, this beer is probably on like my top five beers I want to drink before I die list. So I'm just so excited to drink this beer today.
Yeah, I told him you were pumped and he gave a thumbs up or something.
Yeah, so thank you, Jared, seriously, so much for donating this beer. I can't tell you how happy it makes me.
Yeah, Austin, didn't they just have South by Southwest or something? I don't know. I've never been, but want to check it out.
Yeah, here it's a great town, by the way. Just had my first sip. Can't wait to tell everyone what we think about this beer at the end of the show. Quick hot take, though. Tastes like raspberry jam in a beautiful way.
Okay, Joel, let's get nerdy. Let's talk about some customer service.
Let's do it. Okay, so part of the reason that we felt like we needed to tackle this topic on the show was so many people take what companies give them. They fail to advocate for themselves. This can often result in you paying more than you need to, unnecessary fees. And let's just state this up front. Not every company is going to deliver great customer service. And doing business with well-reviewed companies is going to nip a lot of customer service issues in the bud. But at times also, you're going to have to do business with companies based on other factors. Potentially, they're the only one close by where you can get the item you need. There are all sorts of reasons you might have to do business with a company that isn't well-known for customer service. And because so many times in our lives, we have to do business with companies that might not necessarily be well-known for customer service, it's really helpful to know how to advocate for yourself and how to get good customer service in light of that. So this podcast, we're going to cover a lot of tips for how to get good customer service and specific avenues that you need to take in order to make that happen.
Yeah, and Joel, it's worth mentioning that not all businesses need to have really great customer service all the time, right? Like I think of Zenni. And we talk about them all the time, but I wouldn't really expect them to have great customer service because they just sell cheap eyeglasses. They're the cheapest out there. You can't win at everything, right? Like they're going to win the game when it comes to getting really, really affordable glasses.
Yeah, it's kind of like when if you've been in a mechanic shop and they've got the sign that says you can get it two out of three ways, good, fast, and cheap, right? Yeah. And Zenni, it's hitting two of those, right?
Yeah,
and
so pretty fast, definitely cheap. Sure.
Yeah. And you know, they're solid eyeglasses, but you're not getting great customer service at the same time, right?
Exactly. The more expensive a product is, or if there's a service that's more personal, certainly that would require a higher level of customer service. Like I think about realtors. You're spending close to maybe 2 months of your life, if not more, with them, talking to them on the phone, texting, meeting with them in person while you're looking at properties. Like you really get to know them. And so you want to make sure in instances like that, that you do have a high level of customer service. I think of wedding photography. Like that's something that I do. Weddings in general, very high levels of customer service are expected. And so I think that's certainly worth noting because there's going to be companies out there that don't provide good customer service. You just want to make sure that they've got other great things going for them.
In that vein, Matt, let's kind of give a loose definition of customer service. It's going to depend on the company, right? What getting good customer service from that company means. You mentioned Zenni Optical. Getting your product quickly, it not being broken.
It's like the only requirement.
Right. That's really the only requirement from Zenni. You're not going to have this amazing personal interaction with somebody from Zenni. That's just not how they do it. If you go with a company like Warby Parker to get your eyeglasses, you can expect a higher level of customer service. You should also just expect to pay more at the same time, right?
Yeah, it's a fine balance because oftentimes we talk about trying to get the best deal and try not to be cheap. You know, we're trying to be frugal. But a lot of times with that price tag comes a level of customer service that there's trade-offs. And so you know that, sure, in this example, we're talking about Zenni. With Zenni, there's not going to be someone standing there showing you the different frames and kind of fitting it to your face. However, they're going to be significantly cheaper than they are with Warby Parker.
Yeah, so I feel like my reaction from not getting the product as desired from Zenni and from Warby Parker, I would have two different reactions, honestly. You know, I would try to get the situation rectified in both cases, but my way of going about it might just be a little bit different based on their reputation, based on their price point, and based on how they interact with customers today. But ultimately, you want someone to treat you with respect and kindness. You want help when you have an issue, and you want that company to make it easy on you so that you don't have to jump through a million hoops in order to get your problem solved.
That's right. You know, and when there is a problem, a company being able to provide great customer service, that comes down to the individual, like the individual that you're talking to or that you're meeting with. Because honestly, so much is up to them as an employee to figure out what it is that you need or what it is that you're looking for. Because in one instance, getting great customer service might be getting your money back, getting a refund. Or if you really love the product, it might be getting that replacement because, well, hey, I really like the product. I just want a replacement. This one was ship damaged. In other instances, man, it might be up to that person to understand that the customer is just looking to vent. Like they're just mad about something. And there may not be anything hard or tangible that the customer service representative might be able to provide. Great customer service doesn't always come down to what can be monetarily given or what product can be given to a customer. Sometimes it can be just listening to the customer. I think that's a huge part of it. And in some instances, I think it might be the customer looking for answers. They might want to learn. They might have some questions as to like why the product behaves this way or, you know, why does this service include this? There might be things that weren't explained on the front end, which is also customer service, right? Like the sort of the sales process. But when there is a problem, it might be up to the customer service representative to figure out what it is that's wrong and make sure that the customer understands and that they are educated on the product.
Yeah. And so many of us know, Matt, too, that the worst part of not getting good customer service can be the time that we waste trying to get the problem solved. Whether it's time spent on hold with a cable or internet company with that terrible hold music.
How does it go?
Something exactly like that. Yeah.
You've got the melody down.
Yeah. So there's totally that. I've totally heard that before. We've all been there.
Muzak.
Yeah. And so that's one of the toughest parts of bad customer service is waiting to even talk to somebody. And we're going to get into that in the show too. Basically, it can be emotionally draining as well as draining on your time, potentially draining on your finances at the same time. So when we do take steps to have a problem fixed, It's helpful if we can find the easiest route to take. That's going to eliminate some of that emotional and time drainage and just kind of the annoyance that comes with trying to get good customer service.
Yeah, I think that that's honestly the biggest reason why I don't advocate for myself. Like when there's times when I know that something's wrong, but I don't do anything about it, it's because I just don't have the time for it, or I just don't have the patience because I'm thinking, what are the chances of this getting fixed? And a lot of times, you know, it may not get fixed, or you might get a discount code for the next time you place an order with them. There's the thought that with larger companies that may not work out in your favor. But yeah, like you said, when you do take the steps to advocate for yourself and to try to have a problem fixed, like you want it to work. If I'm going to dedicate any part of my day towards getting something replaced or getting a discount because something showed up scratched, you want to know that it's going to work, right? Like you want to know that the steps you take are going to be worth your time, worth your energy, that it's going to be an efficient use of your time, and that in the end, yeah, you're going to get results.
Totally true, Matt. Results are what it's all about at the end of the day when it comes to getting good customer service. And so let's talk about the strategies that you can implement into your life in order to get better customer service on the regular right after the break.
All right, Joel. And now the first step to get great customer service is make sure that you're doing business with great companies.
Whenever possible, right?
Yeah, all the time. You want to read reviews. You want to make sure that you're doing research. And even better, hopefully you've heard about that company or that retailer from someone else who's used them. Both of those are two great steps that you can take when you're vetting a company or a service.
Yeah, there are some companies in particular that just have great reputations for stellar customer service locally in your area and then nationally as well. So for instance, Matt, we've talked about Aldi before as being a great grocery store, not just because they have some of the lowest prices, but guess what? Aldi has the sweet double guarantee, which means if you buy an Aldi product and you don't like it, you can return it. And not only do you get your money back, but you also get a replacement item. So that's like great customer service right there.
Well, on top of that, I think they just retitled it, or they renamed it. I think it's called Twice as Nice.
Oh, nice.
Twice as Nice, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it's cute.
Aldi just also treats their employees really well. So you're bound to get better customer service at an Aldi than you are at one of the other major grocery chains. The people are just nicer and more helpful, and that's because their company treats them well. There are so many other companies, like I can't list them all, that have great reputations for customer service, but just a couple real quick. Costco, L.L. Bean, those are companies that have great return policies that treat customers well. Have you ever made a return, Matt, at like an electronics store and they're asking for all sorts of identification? They don't trust you. It's just a huge pain to do that. It makes you not want to go shop there. It makes you feel like that company thinks that you're a criminal. And that sucks. That's bad customer service. So anytime you can do a little bit of research about a company before you do business with them and kind of know their customer service patterns, obviously not applicable in every scenario, but anytime that you can, it's really helpful. That's part of why I shop at Aldi, why I shop at Costco. Their reputation for customer service just precedes them.
Yeah, Joel, and you mentioned like companies treating their employees well. Good customer service, I think, is indicative of how an employee feels about the company. Because if you have an employee who's excited to help you, or they're talking about the product, right? Even like the customer service even before the sale, because they just want to help you out. Like that's customer service as well, not just fixing the problem, but on the front end, just chatting you up, like talking about your needs. What is it that you're looking for? When you have someone that's really pumped to be there, it makes you feel good about the company because clearly they do care. And if they hated their job, if they hated the company, I think the chances are that they'd be, you know, going above and beyond for you, the customer, would be slim.
Yeah, I think anytime a company offers their employees a sense of autonomy and a sense of buy-in to the company, I think that person, that individual, that employee is going to serve the customer better.
Yeah.
So I think when you get bad customer service at a place, just know too that that employee is probably disgruntled. They're probably not being treated very well by their employer, because companies that do treat their employees well, Matt, you're right. You're exactly right. Those employees are then going to treat their customers well. That's how it works.
Yeah, it trickles down, right?
Completely.
And so the next tip that we're going to cover is just to make sure that you are being a good customer. And this means not asking for unreasonable things. Like I think about Costco, how they have the pretty much unlimited return policy.
And on a lot of items, yeah.
On a lot of items, right. But and so technically, like you can buy something from Costco and 10 years later...
I didn't like these chips that I bought 10 years ago. Sorry, Costco.
But you can return them. And according to company policy, they have to accept it. They have to take it back. But that's just not cool. Certainly a big part of customer service is how they treat you in that interaction. And I think the fact is, they may not treat you as well if they feel like that you're taking advantage of the system. If you're doing something that they feel is sort of uncouth and just not cool, well, you know what? Like, you're not going to get great customer service if you're trying to return some tires to Costco after you've been driving on them for 5 years, which you could totally technically do. Just don't be that guy. Don't be that girl.
And I think actually, Matt, that those bad apples, those bad customers, in recent years, we've seen companies that have great return policies start to make their return policies just a little less consumer friendly. And that's because of the people that do return their tires after driving on them, or someone who wears a shirt for 20 years and returns it to LL Bean because of their awesome return policy. And so that just kind of ruins it for everyone. And it makes companies less likely to offer great customer service. So be a good customer, right? Be someone who doesn't take advantage of the rules, but who uses something like a nice return policy from a company in the way that it's intended. Don't ask for unreasonable things. That's just crappy.
We tossed this topic out in our Facebook group as well, right? Customer service. And the overwhelming response that everyone kind of pitched in and said that this is what you need to do is to make sure that you're being nice. Make sure that you're being a decent human being, because...
Ah, humbug.
Yeah, like nobody wants to help out a jerk. Become the type of person that someone actually does want to help. The language I saw being used, that multiple folks used, was that when you have a customer who is being nice and friendly, that they want to delight and surprise and go above and beyond for that customer. Because you know what? Like a lot of times folks do come in and they're just not happy. They're complaining and they're honestly taking it out unfairly on the customer service representative or whoever happens to be in front of them. And if you can just be nice, but do make sure you're clearly communicating with them as to what your problem is, well, the likelihood of you getting helped and even getting something else thrown on that maybe they wouldn't have done anyway, if you're being considerate of them and their time as well, well, chances are you're going to be way more likely to be helped.
Yeah, if you walk into a situation where you're hoping to get a problem resolved and your reaction is human worker, fix my problem, as opposed to making a personal connection with a sense of understanding that they're not the person, even in all likelihood, who caused the problem to begin with. If you ask them even just how their day's been going, or even just reference their first name, those little bits of kindness, treating someone like a human in the interaction, even if you've been disappointed and the company hasn't lived up to your expectations, you received an item that was broken, the communication back and forth just has been less than stellar. When you do get someone on the line, treating them with kindness goes a long way in you getting your problem resolved. So being a good customer, realizing that people have bad days and taking a few deep breaths before you make that phone call, even if you've had the most painful experience, can be really big in actually getting your problem solved versus it lingering and steam coming out of your head at the same time.
Yeah, in our Facebook group, Bryce, he mentioned not just being kind, but kind of going over and above being kind. You know, he mentioned chatting up customer
service. Like a back massage, is that what we're talking about for the customer service employee?
Get all up in their space, see how they respond. But they talked about how customer service can be soul-crushing work, in particular, like call centers. That's all they do. They just sit there and they just get chewed out call after call. If you take a minute to actually talk to them, and like you said, like treating them as a human versus seeing them as sort of a tool to like, okay, you are between me getting what I want and you know where I am right now, instead looking at them as an actual human being. Instead, like he talked about how he gets that VIP treatment, and not only does his problem get solved, but he kind of comes out ahead even more.
I love that. Great tip, Bryce. Also, don't forget to tell the truth. Don't make things up. I think that can make a customer service experience even harder if you have embellished a problem or you haven't been completely forthcoming in what happened. So be a good customer. But let's say it's hard to find a human at a company. It's maybe a bigger company and you just are having trouble even getting someone on the phone. Well, I think it's important to mention sites like gethuman.com, Dial-A-Human, and LucyPhone. They can help you find an actual person. And LucyPhone is actually a really cool service, Matt, because what they'll do is you put in your phone number and they will essentially wait on hold for you and then call your phone when the customer service representative picks up. So you don't have to hear that really terrible music that you and I just tried to do a rendition of a little bit earlier. You're not waiting on hold. Your phone rings when the customer service rep is ready for you.
Yeah, Joel, and specific to LucyPhone, I love on their site that they have how much time that they've saved their users. Over 84 years of their life.
That's incredible.
I love that. And it's worth noting too that different sites like GetHuman or Dial-A-Human, they may not have like special secret numbers or anything like that. Some of them might, depending on the company that you're trying to look up, but it's just a great database, a great sort of aggregate site where you can look up any phone number for any company, even if you can't find it on that specific company's website.
But often they have those prompts listed out too.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is so nice because you don't have to wait through hearing every single, it might take 5 or 6 button pushes or maybe even more to get to that customer service rep that you're looking to find.
Yeah, like a minute each as well. So you're looking at, you know, 5-6 minutes.
And just a bunch of annoyance. So get human if you can find the prompts before you even get there, or even just a number that helps you reach someone more quickly. That's awesome. I love that.
The next thing we're going to talk about is one of our favorite sort of avenues for getting great customer service, and that's using social media to reach out to companies when you have a problem. And Twitter is quickly becoming the best way to get in touch with companies. But you can also reach out to Facebook. Either way, both of those can help you get in touch with the sort of the most savvy and helpful folks that work for that company. And Joel, the fact is that these companies, they don't want negative questions or negative press sitting out there, whether it be on their Facebook page or whether it be an at that hasn't been responded to. They want it to look good. And so when you have a negative experience or you have a complaint that's sitting out there floating, like people see that. And that's something that they want to nip in the bud as quickly as possible. You're not typically making that phone call in front of 300, 400, 500 of your friends. But when you are posting on social media, you are. And they're aware of that. And so they're trying to make best use of their resources.
Yeah, I believe someone in our Facebook group mentioned Facebook Messenger. That's quickly becoming another place where companies reply to customer service complaints. I personally have used Twitter a lot. I feel like it is super helpful. Even just the DM version of Twitter, for example, at Comcast Cares and at ATT Cares, if you're having issues with bigger companies like that, they often have actually specific handles, or even if they don't have a separate handle, that's where they have kind of their best customer service team. It's usually kind of a savvier bunch that can make things happen more quickly. Often the people that work in customer service on the social media side, they're more empowered to make decisions to benefit you when you have a problem. So turning to social media is a great way to go. I just wanted to give an example, Matt. I've talked about on the show before a company, Wrapify, that I used to wrap my car. And it was great. I made some money by putting a car wrap on my car and driving it around. A lot of people made fun of me for it, but you know what? It was okay. I made some money on the side and I'm totally fine with that. But when that campaign ended and I took my car in order to get the decal removed, there was just a minor issue. The person taking it off broke my rear wiper blade and I was emailing back and forth with someone and then they just kind of ghosted me. They stopped responding.
Not cool, man.
Not cool. Yeah. And I responded like 3 or 4 more times and was having trouble getting anyone to acknowledge me. So finally I took to Twitter and I said, "Hey, Wrapify, what's going on? I've been emailing with the same person and they just stopped replying. Can you help me get my problem solved?" Man, that problem was fixed that day. It was super helpful.
Nice.
So I wasn't looking to shame them initially. And I think sometimes customers go to social media too quickly to make a company feel terrible about what they've done. They'd like to get their problem resolved, but more than anything, they want to make that company feel some pain. And they think social media is the way to do that. I think if you approach it in that manner on social media, you're unlikely to get served in the way that you want. But if you approach it from a way of just asking for help, that's a much better way to go about it. But yes, social media is one of the best avenues for actually getting some movement on the problem that you're facing.
Yeah, Joel, another quick example. Back in the day when you and I used to host our own podcast, well, like the company that would store the file, like the digital files and distribute, you know, our audio files. That company, we were having an issue with them. We had reached out earlier that day and hadn't heard back in an hour or two. And so I was like, "Hey, I'm going to hit them up on Twitter," sent out a nice tweet. And within 9 minutes, they responded and we had our issue being worked on, which was amazing. That's the kind of response that I wanted to see. Because in our case, there was a more major issue. I think our podcast was down or something, but it was something that needed to be resolved very quickly. And hopping on Twitter like that, you know, with a nice tweet like that, was a very effective way to see quick results. And actually, I just thought of one more example. Atlanta311 is an awesome Twitter account that Atlanta, the city of Atlanta, has. It's like at ATL311. And they constantly field people's requests if they see like a water main break or the sidewalks busted. And they respond to folks typically like within the hour. And by the way, I just saw on there that bulk pickup's going to be changing when it comes to our trash. So heads up. They're putting useful information out there. So I thought that was a unique way that not only is a company, but an actual city is using social media to keep people happy.
Great customer service from your local government. I love it, Matt. Another important thing to consider when you're striving to get great customer service is to document your conversations. If you're on the phone with an employee from a company and you're promised something, it's really important to ask for that in writing. A lot of people, in particular with the big internet and cable companies, have issues being told something by a customer service representative, but with no written proof. You're just going to run into a brick wall all day when it comes to actually getting that thing. So asking for something in writing when you're on the phone is super helpful, or at least ask for that person's name and employee number. That can be helpful as well. If you're doing an online chat with someone, which I love online chats personally, print that online chat out when you're done. If you're emailing, keep your email record so that you can point back to it when you're talking to potentially a different customer service representative, or even just refreshing someone's mind. Keeping a record is super helpful.
If you don't have a printer at home and you don't want to print that out or you can't, even taking a screenshot is incredibly helpful. And on a Mac, that's super simple. I know it's Shift-Command-3, and that takes a screenshot of the entire screen right there. So that way you've got that proof, and then you can hold the company to what they said that they would actually do. on the note of asking for their name, a listener in our group, Joe, he actually mentioned to ask what their name is when you're talking to them, just from having a conversation, and to write their name down so you can actually use it. And that one totally stuck out to me because I have a terrible habit of not remembering people's names. So yeah, when I saw that, I thought, oh man, that's totally something I could do. Because again, it comes down to being human. And when you're calling somebody by their actual name, they're going to be more responsive to you because you know what? That's what their friends call them as well. Or probably. That's probably what their friends call them.
That's a great tip. I hadn't really thought about that, but writing down the name and then using it throughout the conversation just helps reinforce that that person is a person and not just a tool to get what you want accomplished, right? Another thing that you should consider is escalating if need be. We've talked on a prior episode about the customer retention department being the only place that's actually going to consider lowering your internet or cable bill. Looking for the right department or asking to speak to a manager in case you run into a roadblock, that's going to be really helpful for you. Whether it means actually using the word escalate, asking in particular to speak to a manager, or asking if you're even in the right department. That's a way for you to get your customer service issue addressed if you keep butting your head against the system.
Yeah, Joel, and this last tip that we're going to cover before the break isn't something that I've actually done. You wrote this down, so I'm going to see if you have personal experience with it. But you mentioned to try contacting like the vice president, you know, or maybe like the founder of a smaller company by like looking them up on the website, figuring out their name, and then looking them up on LinkedIn, and then maybe like shooting them a message through LinkedIn or something like that. Have you done this yourself?
So I have, only a couple of times. It's one.
What? You've done it more than once?
Maybe. So it's not something you want to abuse, but if you do find yourself like running into an issue continually with the same company, typically the person that started it, if it's a smaller company or a vice president of a larger company, those are the kind of things they want to know about. They're not always up to speed on exactly what's happening in the customer service call center or with the employees that are responding via chat. And so reaching out to someone kind of who's a little bit higher up in the company, that can be a play that you make that's kind of a last resort that you don't use often.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of how you go about pulling out the big guns.
Exactly. Yeah. So when one time, Matt, this is a story for another day, but my Nissan Leaf was stolen and I thought that the thief had stolen my charging cord and not returned that when I got the car back. Those charging cords are like $600. They're super expensive. And so I reached out to Nissan to try to ask if they had any sort of program, any sort of way of giving me a used charging cord, anything like that.
Yeah.
And I was getting bupkissed. Like nobody was responding at all. So I figured it was worth emailing someone who I thought was a decision maker. And I finally heard back on LinkedIn from a vice president that worked for Nissan who was super helpful. It's not something I want to do every day because I don't want to bother people that have more important things going on.
You could also look up their address and show up at their front door in the morning and knock, right?
That's a really good tip, Matt. That's a really good tip. All right, maybe don't do that because that could get you arrested or something like that. But a LinkedIn message or an email to someone in charge can be really helpful. If you email Jeff Bezos from Amazon, you might not get any traction, right? But if you email one of his underlings, one of his vice presidents, you might actually get some movement. You might see something happen if you have a customer service issue. So that's why I mentioned the vice president thing.
Joel, I love that you did that, man. It never hurts to ask. And so after the break, we're going to cover what to do in a worst case scenario of terrible customer service. Stick around for that, as well as some other tips and considerations right after the break.
Just a minute, we're going to get to those worst case scenarios. Where do you turn if you're unable to get any sort of customer service movement? So we'll get to that in just a second. But first, it is going to be different when you're trying to get customer service movement from a small local company versus a national company, right? And that can be good or bad, depending. There are often fewer mechanisms in order to get good customer service when you're dealing with a local company. I had an issue the other day where I asked to speak to a manager and the person I was speaking to was the manager. And that's kind of what happens sometimes.
Joke's on you, sucker.
Right. That's kind of what happens sometimes in a smaller, more local company. There's just not much recourse if you can't connect with that single individual. But there's also the chance for more humanity when you're talking to a local company. A national company, there's a higher chance that you're going to need to find the right phone number or use social media. That just depends oftentimes, right, on the size and the structure of the company you're dealing with.
And Joel, you mentioned social media. Let's again go back to that, right? Let's envision that you've exhausted all the different options that we've kind of covered up until this point. Honestly, think going back to social media and kind of doing a form of online picketing is the next step to take.
Yeah, if you're getting completely stonewalled, that might be your only option, right?
Yeah, seriously, like complaining on social media because it's out there and because everyone sees it. And that if they don't address it, they look bad. But those social media complaints can honestly be the nudge that a company needs. I'm thinking of United Airlines after they treated several of their passengers very poorly and busted them up. There's that whole movement where folks were taking over the United Journey hashtag. That was the hashtag that United Airlines had come up with for an advertising campaign. And it totally backfired because shortly after that was when they dragged that doctor off the flight, you know. And
I totally remember that.
Bleeding from his face. It's terrible.
It's not good at all.
But folks were claiming that and kind of repurposing it, basically talking about just how terrible United Airlines was. And even coming up with new hashtags. Like there was one that was hashtag new United Airlines mottos, where folks were essentially writing in with their own sort of slogans based on the current news and just all the terrible things that United Airlines was doing. You know, hopefully they learned their lesson and will be able to kind of move past that and never have an incident like that in their history. But that was a way for the people to speak collectively and say, hey, this is terrible. Like, we do not stand behind this. We do not like how you're treating your customers or just people in general. It's just a terrible way to behave as a company.
I guess while we're bashing United, let's do another one. There was a guy back in the day who had his guitar broken by United Airlines, and he came up with this catchy YouTube video where he wrote a song about it on a guitar that wasn't broken by United Airlines, I guess. And that just went viral. And so there are just these ways in the worst case scenario where you can use social media kind of to your benefit. We mentioned earlier about reaching out for help. And now this is a case in which you're kind of picketing and letting people know that you've had a bad experience. In my opinion, that's more of a last resort, but it is a step that can be helpful if you are experiencing just complete inattention to your issue.
Yeah, at that point, you're not trying to get your problem fixed anymore. Essentially, what you're doing is you're warning other customers. You're saying, hey, watch out for these guys because they suck.
Matt, and that's online picketing, but there's an in-person version of picketing as well, right? Where you can actually stand in front of a local business on a weekend, right? And hurt their sales and hurt their reputation by doing some picketing in front of a business. And I feel like, again, that is a last resort sort of option for you. But if you have, let's say, bought a car at a dealership and they pulled a fast one on you, and this happens all over the country, they say, actually, you don't qualify for that loan at 6%, even though you've signed all these papers. Now you have to come in and re-sign this paper where you have a 14% interest rate. Let's say you've had something terrible happen to you. You should consider, at least, picketing in front of that business with a sign telling the truth about what happened.
Yeah, you have a legal right to do that.
Exactly. You can't be on their property. You need to be on a sidewalk or at least know your local municipality's rules when it comes to picketing, but know your rights at the same time. And if you need to stand up for yourself and you need to picket in front of a local business, letting people know what happened to you. I think in the case of something severe and egregious that a company has done to you, it's a worthwhile consideration.
Yeah, this is also something I've never done. Have you ever picketed before?
No, never picketed.
Yeah, I'm glad I've never gotten to the point to where I felt like that I needed to do that.
I know, yeah, but I've seen people doing it before.
Have you? I don't think I've even seen anyone do that before.
Oh, really? Yeah, with a sign. And that happens oftentimes, right, Matt? In like union negotiations with an employer too. Have you seen people doing that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember seeing folks back in the day in front of Publix.
Yeah, shame on you for not negotiating fairly with the union. That kind of stuff happens. And so I think for employees trying to get good customer service from their company, right, they chose to picket. I've seen people standing in front of individual businesses with a sign. And the key is to, like I said, know your municipality's rules, abide by them, and at the same time, tell the truth. So whatever you put on your sign, no slander, no misinformation. You want to make sure you're being above board and telling people exactly what happened and saying it succinctly so that people driving by can actually read it.
And again, keep in mind that this is less about you getting good customer service at this point and helping your fellow consumer or your friends to know that they are not going to get good customer service themselves.
And you know what? Maybe though, if you're hitting them where it hurts in the pocketbook, driving new customers away from their doors, that can actually sometimes be the impetus for them to act.
Angel, so beyond picketing, you know, once you've gotten to where things are just gone really south and you think maybe even the company has done something illegal, now is the time that you can turn to different government agencies. Groups like the CFPB, which is the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, or the OCC, which is the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, those are both going to be financial related. So if you're having issues with a credit card company or a bank, you know, anything financial related like that, those are some of the agencies that you can go to. But then just like the Federal Trade Commission or insurance departments or health commissioners, there are a number of different federal agencies that you can turn to. And that's their job. Like, their job is to regulate these different companies and these industries, and they want to hear from you.
Yeah, we'll put links to a few of these on the show notes. And in particular, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which was created a few years ago, it's not quite as effective as it was under the former boss of the CFPB. He was awesome. But still, there's a great place to submit a complaint. And I've heard good reports of people that do file a complaint on the CFPB or on OCC against the bank, OCC.gov, that the banks actually take action pretty quickly. So it's not a place where your complaint goes into the ether and is unheard. It actually works, not only so that the federal government knows what's going on with these businesses, but so that action will be taken at the same time on your specific case. Yeah, so filing a complaint with the proper government entity, for instance, if you're having a problem with your insurance company, you report them to your state's insurance department. And always reporting a company to the Better Business Bureau can be effective as well.
Yeah, Joel, you know, good customer service, it speaks volumes about that company. And, you know, the different companies that address a problem well with a thorough response can actually help create a more loyal customer. And honestly, for customers, sometimes you just have to know who and how to ask. And hopefully we've given some helpful tips to get the result that you're looking for.
Yeah, Matt, Crystal on our Facebook group mentioned getting great customer service from Wayfair after she'd encountered a problem. And companies that respond well to people, even in the middle of an issue, fix it with a smile on their face, they're much more likely to have a customer for life even than just a customer that had a great experience from the get-go. So it's important for companies and customers to know that problem resolution is a way for a deeper relationship to be built.
And then lastly, it's important to note to not forget to say thank you. Leave that great review. Take that survey as well, so you can give some feedback. You know, just like you would tip a good waiter, you want to let that customer service person know that they've done a good job. And maybe on social media, that means making sure you follow up with that initial tweet and thanking them. You know, it's not like you're just putting that message out there and letting it sit. Like, they're going to respond and follow it up with, man, thanks so much for resolving my issue, or, you know, you guys are the best. They're trying to make sure that you're a happy customer and make sure that you're representing that well to your followers and your friends.
No doubt, buddy. All right, let's get back to the beer that we had on the show today, Matt. Listener Jared sent in Atrial Rubicite from Jester King. And like I said, this was like a bucket list beer for me, and it didn't disappoint. This was incredible. I mentioned that it tasted kind of like raspberry jam. It totally did. There were so many raspberries in this. It had a perfect dry sourness to it and just very fruit forward. This is a beer that I'll remember for a long time. It was really that good.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Like, it had tons of raspberry flavor, but typically you think, okay, if it's going to have tons of fruit, you expect it to be sweet, like sweet and sticky and just kind of just over the top. Like you're sniffing a Glade plug-in or something like that. It's like, oh, this is gross.
Is that what you do on from time to time, maybe?
You never sniff Glade plug-ins as a kid?
Don't think so.
Oh, okay. Well, that was just me. But with this, you could tell that there was tons of fruit in it. But yeah, like you said, there was a dryness to it and a balance that, I would almost say is unmatched. Yeah, this was an incredibly balanced beer. I wouldn't say that this beer was incredibly unique in any sort of way. Like, it didn't have like some kind of crazy twist on it, or it didn't have like this odd flavor that you just totally weren't expecting. It's just an amazing barrel-aged raspberry sour, and they're doing it better than anyone else out there. You know, like, it's just a standard, awesome beer. Like, there's no gimmicks, there's no games.
Yeah, just that style that they were going for, done up perfectly to a T, right?
Yeah, you can't beat that.
So good, so good. So, looking forward to having more from Jester King one of these days. Yeah, so sincerest thanks to Jared for donating last episode's amazing beer and also this complete gem from Jester King.
And Joel, before we go too long, let's go ahead and do our final thoughts and wrap this episode up. Why don't you kick it off?
All right, buddy. We're talking about getting great customer service today. And one of the most surefire ways to ensure that you're going to get decent customer service, not in all cases, but often, is by being kind. And this was reflected in the responses we got in our Facebook group. No one wants to help a jerk. Be the type of person that a customer service representative actually wants to help.
Not only do you want to be kind, but you also want to be persistent. Certainly start off with those phone calls or those emails. But then beyond that, if your issues are not getting resolved, make sure that you're documenting your conversations. You want to be able to build off of those discussions that you've had in order to work towards resolving those issues.
And then don't forget to escalate appropriately. You don't want to come in guns blazing with this incredibly minor customer service issue. Pew pew. You want to go in the appropriate route. That probably starts with just finding a human to talk to. And Matt, we mentioned some sites that make it easier for someone to actually reach a human at the company that they're looking to get customer service from. But if you need to go even further, you might need to talk to someone in the customer retention department or ask to speak to a manager. And ultimately, it might get to the point where you're doing some online picketing or you actually have to submit a complaint with a government entity. That's not the first place to turn, but it is nice to know that they're there if the problem continues to persist.
All right, Joel, that is going to be it for this episode. Just like you mentioned, we're going to have those links up in our show notes up on our website at howtomoney.com.
And if you like this podcast, we would encourage you to submit a review. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button while you're there. And if Matt and I haven't done as great of a job as you would like, send us an email. You can go to howtomoney.com/dobetter. We read everything that comes in there.
And Joel, real quick, I think it's worth mentioning too, we need to thank all of our listeners out there who have left awesome reviews for us over at Apple Podcasts. Those help get the word out. We are incredibly thankful for those. So thank you to everyone.
Many, many thanks. We appreciate it.
Joel, until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.